morning. Why don't we pray and read our Bibles together? Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you love us, and thank you, God, that you give us these moments so we could come together and open your word and read and meditate together and then go out and live what you've said to us in your word. So God, I pray that you would lead us today, that through your spirit you would peel back what's in our hearts and you'd expose to each of us how we can obey you better, that you would draw us to you, make us love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we go through the book of Colossians, we're in chapter 3, and we're in a part that, so we took a break last week, so I'll do a little bit of, you know, bringing us back in sync with where we're at. We're going through the part of Colossians where Paul is talking to people who are Christians, and he's saying, this is how, if you're a Christian, this is how you're to live. This is what your life is supposed to look like. This is what it means to live out the gospel and the faith that you were called to, that you entered into. This is what a child of God looks like and lives like throughout a normal week. So let me ask you a question as we get into this week's text. We're going to talk about Colossians 3. We're going to talk about verse... been looking at it all week, just not the number. Verse number 15. So how stressed out are you? How stressed are you right now or in general? How stressed out do you get in life? How anxious and worried and thinking about what's going to be happening, and how much anxiety do you carry with yourself on your shoulders as you go through life? And until I started thinking about it this week, I didn't realize how worried and stressed out and anxious I kind of tend to be. Just like I have an acceptable, normal level of anxiety that I don't even realize, because it's just normal. It's like, do you think about breathing? Do you think about, you know, light, unless it doesn't turn on? You don't think about it. Same thing with stress and anxiety. I think at least I carry around just kind of a normal level, what to me is a normal level of just kind of constant stress, constant anxiety, constant worry, and sometimes that's augmented. So what are things that make you be more stressed? What are things that happen in your life and that make you go, make it worse, that make you more worried? What are some of the people that just put you just more than normal? And what are some of the things that make you stressed out? Because the text today is going to talk to us about peace. It's going to talk to us about divine peace, and it's going to help us because God is going to say, if God is your Father, then you can experience the peace that He's already given you. And if God's not your Father, this text is an invitation to enter into the truest peace of all, of being God's child. So that's where we're going with it. Let's read verse 15. And let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. And let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. You say, wait a second. Right off the bat, I see a problem. We're talking about anxiety and stress and worry, but those words don't show up in the text. Well, are we talking about the same thing? This seems to be talking about peace. Why are we starting out with worry and anxiety? And because that's the opposite of peace, right? If I'm in a totally peaceful state, or the opposite of that would be, I'm eaten up with worry, and I'm stressed out, and I'm worried about what's going to happen, and I'm anxious about the future, and that's the opposite. And we tend to be pretty stressed out. We tend to be pretty preoccupied and worried just kind of all the time. There's always something new to worry about. And normally, doesn't the stress and the anxiety that we have, doesn't it come from fear? It's fear of what's going to happen in the future, in the immediate future, or, you know, that you get pulled over and what's going to happen in the next 30 seconds when they walk up to my window and tap on it. What did I do this time? Or it's fear for, like, the, you know, the far into the future, like when next year, next month, when that huge thing becomes due, or when I have to do that other thing, or it's fear of the future. It's fear of people. I don't know about you. I get stressed out and worried about how is this person going to react and this other person going to react and people close to me, you know, is this going to make my wife and my children and my family happy or not? And will my friends be happy with me because of this? Or am I going to get it again? Are they going to all be mad at me? What's going to fear of other people and how they're going to react? Fear of things that are going to happen inevitably, things that are going to come down the pipe. And so we get tensed up, worried about them, about problems. We fear the problems that we have. Anxiety comes from fear, and that takes away our peace. And when we have anxiety and fear, isn't it true that it kind of controls us? It's like it governs us. It's like it becomes a little internal motor, and it everything we do kind of emanates from that. How tense I am on the inside is very visible on the outside. Ask my family, ask my kids. How tense I am and how stressed out I am about anything is immediately visible to the people that I'm around because I'm that worked up and I'm that tied up in knots and my emotions are governed by that. And the way that I talk and how fast I talk and how much patience I have and the things that I do and the decisions that I make. You know, when you're stressed out about something, your decisions tend to get better or worse, faster or slower? Do you think things through and really analyze them, or do you just, yeah, me too? Because that's what worry does. That's what stress and anxiety do. They govern us and they make us feel. They control what we feel and what we do and how we make decisions and they control our health. It ends up ruining us. It ends up making us into sometimes shells of the people that we could be. If we weren't consumed with worry and just didn't accept this level of anxiety just kind of constantly on the inside of us, it makes us be, not makes us like it wasn't our responsibility, it's our fault, but it governs us and it makes us, it turns into me treating you poorly when I'm snappy and irritable and not nice and impatient and kind of a little bit explosive. And that's normally because I'm being governed by worry and fear and anxiety and stress. And I'm eaten up on the inside when I answer you worse than I should, when I don't tolerate anything. It's because fear and stress and worry and anxiety is governing me on the inside, and it makes us miserable. I'm not happy. Isn't that why when you go to sleep, sometimes that's the happiest that you are the whole day, and you're not even conscious in that moment. So why would that be the happiest moment? It's because there's no stress, unless you're really stressed, and then you dream about it, and you wake up worried, and that's just miserable. Misery you can't get away from. Stress makes us miserable, and it even affects us physically, right? It ulcers and gastritis and sicknesses come, not just mental sicknesses, physical, sick, actual, real physical sicknesses come from being worried and being sick on the inside. They govern all of us. So how does stress affect you? How does it make you miserable? How does it make the people around you miserable? I was talking to some guys yesterday in our study group, and we're talking about something, and I, whatever we were talking about, I don't remember it. It doesn't matter. Something with what we were studying that yesterday, and so then I shared with them that as much as I love spicy food, which is one of the benefits to being, you know, a minister in a primarily Hispanic congregation. I know not this one. Everybody looking around like, what? The one downtown. Your palate gets steered in a direction over the years, and you learn to enjoy really delicious food like God made it to be enjoyed. And so delicious spiciness that makes you just sweat and oh, it's phenomenal. I can't do that on Saturday nights. I can't have anything spicy on Saturday nights because I've learned that on Sundays, my digestive system is just messed up anyway. And if I add spice to that, it's horrible. It's a miserable day. So without going into any more details, what I realized is I just had learned to accept an elevated level of stress on Sundays because I speak in front of people and we have the stuff downtown. And I just, that was just normal. And I adjusted my menu and my eating habits around that because that's just normal stress that I carry around. And it doesn't make me happier. It doesn't make me nicer. It doesn't make me a better person. It makes me miserable. But we carry this stress with us. How does it affect you? How does stress and worry and anxiety make your life miserable? And And what God is going to tell us in this verse is that that is unnecessary, especially if you're his child. Carrying around that kind of worry and stress is completely and totally unnecessary. Let's read the text again. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. The idea from this text is that God's children should be ruled or governed or controlled by God's peace, as opposed to their worry and their stress. We should always be at peace. No matter what is going on around us in our lives, we should be at peace. We should be the picture of Jesus sleeping in the boat, asleep, soundly asleep, that he'd be woken up by his followers in the middle of the storm. Turn that, you know, physical storm into a metaphorical storm, and you just at peace. That's what this text is saying God's children should be. And it's not just a should be, and wouldn't it be nice if, it's a command. So there are very few words, but they pack a lot of meaning. So look at the words, and let, that is a command, let. So what he's going to say after this about letting God's peace rule in our hearts, that's a command. It's not an optional thing, which this is one of many verses in the New Testament that tell me my worry and my stress, my anxiety when I'm like, that is not just me reacting normally to life situations. That's me sinning. My stress is a sin. It's an emotion, right? Most of the fruits of the Spirit, if you read Galatians 5:22 and 23, are emotional, internal things. Their opposite is also not a fruit of the Spirit. It's a sin. It's our flesh. It's internal, emotional things. Most of what God works in us, and this is another sermon, is emotional, internal, at the core of who we are and what we feel and how we react in our character, inside stuff that we think we can't change. That's just the way I am. This is how I react to problems. This is what I feel. I can't not feel that. And this verse is saying, don't feel that, feel this. He's giving us a command, and to not obey that command then means that I am disobeying God. When I'm worried and stressful, it's not just I wish it wouldn't be nice if I could think positive thoughts and be happier. It's, I'm disobeying my Father. I'm being disobedient to God with this emotion that I'm feeling. So he says, let, this is an emotion, and it's a command, let the peace. And there it is. That's the emotion, the state of being in tranquility, the opposite of anxiety, the opposite of stress, the opposite of being worried, the opposite of thinking about what's going to be happening. There's like, I can't do anything about it right now, but I'm thinking about what's going to happen, what's going to happen after that. Is that going to happen? Can I do that? And what about this thing? And I hope that they don't see that, and I hope it's okay. The opposite of that, let the peace, the internal just peace, reign or rule. That's a really big word to use here. This isn't a think positive, happy thoughts and try to calm yourself down verse. It's let God's peace, that emotional thing, let that emotion rule you, control you. Maybe much in the same way that anxiety and stress and worry, when it's inside of us, controls us. You know, when you're thinking about that thing and you can't do anything about it right now, but you think about it and think about it and think about it and you can't stop thinking about it. Why? Because it's controlling your mind. And then you feel a certain way because it's controlling your emotions. And then you react a certain way to other people that talk to you about other stuff and they don't know what you're going through and thinking about and worried about, but you react, it's controlling your actions. The same way that our stress and worry controls us from the inside out, let the peace of God control and rule, govern who you are from the inside out. Let it control your emotions, what you feel. That, not just how you, this isn't an act like, you know, try to act like you're, you know, peaceful on the outside. Breathe deeply. Fake a smile. Hey, it's good to be here this morning. No, it's from the inside, feel peace and let that rule how you feel. Let it rule the decisions you make. Let it govern and rule and reign over the way that you talk, your actions, even your health. Let your health as it relates to worry, right? And I'm not saying think your way into always being healthy. That's not how we're going with that. You know, in the same way that when we're ruled by stress, it affects our health. When we're ruled by peace, it affects everything about us. It rules who we are. It comes out of us. And he says, let it rule. Let it reign. Let it govern you. And that command is saying, permit it. Allow it to. If you're God's child and you have the Holy Spirit in you and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. That should have been an easy one, especially today. Love, joy. There we go. Okay. That is what he produces in you. And so let the peace of God rule in you. That should be a allow him to do what he's trying to do and what he's willing to do and what he's already doing in you if you are his child. Get out of its way. Don't stop blocking the peace. Let it control you. Allow it to control you. Don't block it with worry. Let it fill you. And then look at the next word. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Again, this isn't a act like you're calm on the outside, because that works for about 30 seconds, and then they keep pushing at you. Then whatever you're feeling on the inside eventually comes out, right? This is a let it rule from within your heart. Don't worry about how you're reacting on the outside. That's not where the battle is. Don't worry about this. Worry about this. Let God's peace govern you from the inside, in your heart, deep in the center of what you are. That, again, he's cementing in this idea that this is not a do something different or say something different or think something different. It's a feel something different command. It's from the inside, from the seat of your emotions, from your heart, from where the feelings come from. Have peace there and feel peace, and let that come from the inside and work its way out. So if we read this and you say, okay, where does that come from? Because I don't have that. And a minute ago, if I was listening, which is a sermon, so I'm not, assuming that, but you say, if I was listening, you said, it's not just thinking positive thoughts. And so that's normally where I would turn when I was supposed to be more peaceful, right? It's I need to get the power of positive thinking or your best life now or some kind of, mumble jumble gibberish and try to just force my way into positive thinking and think better thoughts. And that's not what it's doing. That's not what this verse says. Read it again. It's I don't see anywhere in there where he says, force your mind into being less stressed out. Now, that's not what he's saying. Look what he says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. To which indeed you were called in one body. He's connecting this peace. Where does it come from? Well, you are called to that. So if you're a Christian, it's because you're part of Christ's body. It's because God called you to be part of himself. And part of what he called you to is to be filled with his peace. Part of what he called you to, integral to our call, to what God called us to be his children and to be loved and to be forgiven and to be filled with his peace. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit, again, love, joy, peace. It's being filled with, he's called us to that. It's as if it were our destiny. This is my expectation for my children. I'm calling them to be full of peace. That's what it means to be my child. One of the many things that it means to be my child. It means to be filled with my peace. It's to which you were called in one body. It's because he connects it with this idea that if we're part of Christ, if we repented him and baptized and given ourselves to Jesus, and then we're part of Christ and we're joined to God and we're joined to his family, we're joined to each other, we're joined to his body. And part of being part of that body, so this isn't a verse that you can pull out of here and say, well, I'm not a Christian, I haven't given myself to Jesus, but I'm going to let God's peace just rule in my heart. He says, no, that where that comes from is because you're connected to Christ, you're covered with his blood, you're filled with his spirit, you're part of his body, you're connected to all these other people, you are part of God's family, and by the way, what that gives you is, like, that gives you peace. As part of that connection, God gives you peace. And this is a part of the verse where we say, okay, it's not a go out and get it. He said that the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. It's not a go out and get this. It's a you have this. This is something you were called to this. This is your destiny as God's child, to be filled with peace. He wants to fill you with peace. He put his spirit in you to fill you with peace. It's not something that I hope I could be peaceful. I hope someday I could, just work out enough peace in my life. No, this is what God gives his children. You've already been promised this. He's already pouring it into you. You can have this. Maybe you're not living in it. Maybe I don't live in it. Sundays when I get all worked up all day long because, you know, of everything that I feel like I got to do and take care of. And maybe, not maybe, I don't have to live full of tension and stress in those moments. Why? Because I'm called to be full of His peace. It's something I already have. I just have to let it rule in my heart. So how do we get this peace? Like, make it really practical. I think the key phrase, well, before we look at the key phrase, if I were to say, okay, I see that peace should rule in my heart, and I'm called to that, and it comes from the Spirit, and it's supposed to just fill me up, and God's already promised it to me, so why don't I feel that right now? Why don't I have it? Why isn't it filling me up the way that it says that it could and should, and I should just let it rule? You don't know the stress that I'm under. You don't know the stuff that could happen in my life. You don't know the worry that I have for the future. It says, I can't not worry. I can't stop being stressed out. I wish I could. How do I let it, make it practical? How do you make it? And if I were to make it practical, my first thought would be, like, just humanly speaking, I would go, well, okay, if I'm going to guide you through, walk you through, how do I get rid of my stress and replace it with God's peace that it's inside of me through His Spirit and it's just waiting to flow over and govern me, how would I walk you through that? Well, my first thought would be to say, okay, well, what's causing your stress? Could we get rid of some of those things? Maybe avoid some certain people at work and change jobs, or, I don't know, go to a different school, get on a different team. Just get out of some of those environments that are causing you stress. Maybe, if you could just work hard and save some money and pay some of that stuff off and get some money in the bank, or maybe you need a vacation. I would look to what's causing the stress. That's what I would do, because to me, stress comes from, like, stuff that's happening that makes me be stressed out. The people and the problems and the job work and the commitments and the stuff that I'm going to have to do and that's going to come down the pipe. And if I could just get rid of that. And so then we try to change our circumstances, and two problems with that. We try to make things be better, and we try to get, rid of some people and change some other stuff and take care of some other things so that everything is just kind of taken care of. The problem with that is, one, that's not in the text. That's not how Paul says this is how you let Christ's peace rule in you. It's not by changing your circumstances and changing the people and making sure everything is taken care of and taken care of into the future. And if you have enough life insurance and health insurance, and then it will be okay. That's not what he says. That's not how he says. And we also know it doesn't work, because no matter how much I get stuff taken care of and some of those, problem people out of my life, guess what happens? More problem people come in and fill up the space they left behind. And then it worked. I stopped working with the problem person, but then there's another problem. It's just nothing. And then there's always stress from the boss, and there's always family stress, and there's always, we can't make the causes, in quotation marks, of our stress go away, because there's always stuff in life that we could worry about if we wanted to, and we do. So look at the key phrase, how we get the peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ. I think the of Christ part is the key part to this, to how we actually tomorrow live governed by peace instead of worry. Why? Because, well, it comes from Jesus. It's from Jesus. It's of Christ. It's from Him. It's His peace. It's His peace that He gives us. My peace I leave, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. He gives us His peace. It comes from Christ, which means it comes from who He is, that He's the King of the universe and He rules and reigns over everything. And it comes from what His children have in Him, that we are God's children because of what we have in Christ, because of what we are and who we are in Him. That's where peace comes from. Christ's peace comes from. It comes from Jesus. He gives it to us. And so I would say that the way we actually live in peace, and the reason we don't have peace, is because it's when we don't believe and we don't receive and we don't believe in our minds what we actually have in Christ. So if peace comes from Jesus through our relationship with him, it's the peace of Christ. And if it comes from us being in a body connected with him and through his spirit in us, if that's where it comes from, then what causes peace isn't me having all these problem stuff and problem people and problem situations in my life. It's about me not believing what I have in Jesus. It's not believing what I receive in him, because the peace comes from him and because of my relationship with him. So what I boil it down to is this phrase, and this is not an original phrase with me. I've heard it in many other places, but it's whenever I'm stressed, whenever I'm worried, it's because I'm not believing something that the gospel, the message of peace with God through Christ, the gospel says that I have, or who I am in God. There's something that the gospel says that I have, or that the gospel says that I am not believing in that moment. And because of that, I am worried about this situation or about this person or about this thing. That's where worry comes from and stress comes from and not being peaceful comes from. It's the opposite of finding peace from Christ. It's not believing what we have in Christ, because what does the gospel say? The gospel says that God is the king of the universe and he controls everything, and that we are made in his image, but we've rebelled against him and we deserve his wrath. But in Jesus, through his life and death and resurrection, we can be reconciled to the Father, and we can be forgiven and adopted and become God's dearly beloved children. We can become God's, the gospel calls us to a decision to repent and be baptized, to give ourselves to Jesus. And when we do, we enter into his family and God becomes our Father. And now the king of the universe is not my enemy because I've become his enemy, but rather he's my loving Father, and I'm in his hands and he takes care of me, and nothing happens to me that is outside of the purview of his control and his will and his good wishes for me eternally. So stress comes from me going back and saying, I got to control everything, and forgetting that I'm in the hands of the one who does control everything, because I'm his child. And so the peace of Christ that comes from Jesus through my relationship with him, I get that. Listen, this is the most practical thing in the world, that if you could just grab onto this, it will transform your week this week. Peace comes from me saying in the moment, when I'm stressed out, when I'm worried, when I feel that tension, it's like, I better not eat hot food tonight, because tomorrow's like, wait a second. What am I not believing about the gospel? What am I not believing that God has told me in his gospel that I have, who I am, who he is? What am I not believing about that? That if I would only believe that truth, I wouldn't be worried right now. Maybe it's believing that, wait, God is the king of the universe. He controls everything. I don't have to control everything. I can't control everything. He's my Father, and he loves me, and he's working everything together for my good, my eternal good, even the stuff that doesn't appear to have any good in it for me. That's something I forget. I'm his child, and nothing can separate me from him. And no matter how much you dislike me, I know you all don't, but you know, just hypothetically speaking, no matter how much you dislike me and I feel disapproval from you, it doesn't matter. The king of the universe, my Father, approves of me because I am covered with the perfect life of his Son. I have the Spirit of Jesus inside of me, and he gives me power and guidance. There is nothing that I can't do because the Spirit is in me. And after this life, an eternity with my Father awaits for me. This life is temporary. Even this horrible thing that's happening right now that is just, no one would say it's not a tragedy. It is a tragedy. It's horrible. But an eternity with my Father in the New Jerusalem awaits me, where I am with him forever. That's what the gospel says. And believing that, those truths and so many more that come from here, that's why we have to read this, because it reminds us of what the gospel says we have and who we are in Christ. And so in those moments when stress fills us, the Spirit brings to our mind what we have and who we are in Christ, and the peace of Christ is allowed to fill our hearts and conquer and defeat the anxiety that we have. Believing the gospel is what gives us peace. That's what, practically speaking, gives us peace. Can you imagine what that would look like if every time that you were stressed out tomorrow, every time you were worried tomorrow, every time that throughout this week, if you could just breathe and say, wait a second, I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. God loves me and he's the king of the universe and my life is in his hands and he's going to work things out according to his best will and he sees everything, not just what I see. And this is all temporary anyway. I have an incredible eternity promise to me that's awaiting for me. How much would believing the gospel in that moment remove the stress that we would have? That's how I want to live. And I stand before you confessing that's many times how I don't live. But this has encouraged me. I want to live that way. I want to believe the gospel more. And I want to live a life that is full of the peace of Christ. And that is the application of this for all of us. Live lives that are full of the peace of Christ. And if today you're listening to this and you say, okay, I'm not a Christian. And again, if I was listening, I think you said that this is not a verse that people who aren't Christians can just grab onto and say, I get to be filled with peace. That's right, because until you have peace with God, there's no peace, true peace, in your life. And you'll try to find it, and they'll have moments of peace, but you will not have true peace. Because peace with God brings peace to the rest of your life. So if you're not God's child, one of the biggest reasons to become God's child is to have peace with him and then let his peace over the rest of your life just fill you and govern you and fill you with true peace where you don't have to look for that in other places because you have peace from God through his Spirit. And in this community, when you're ready to give yourself to God and become his child, you repent, you be baptized, you can tell someone, and in that moment you can make your decision. And God will shower his peace into your heart. If you're a Christian, here's the application for us. We're to live in this peace. We're to live in God's peace. So that means we're to actively seek it because it's a commandment. Because it's a commandment, we're to confess and repent and recognize that when I'm stressed, when I'm worried, I'm sinning. And we're to look up and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I'm feeling because this is denying who I am in you and it's denying who you are. And I'm trying to take your place again. I'm trying to control everything. I repent of that. Thank you for the cross that forgives me. And then we're to ask him, let the peace from your spirit, let Christ's peace fill me. And then ask yourself the most powerful question you could ask yourself. What am I not believing about the gospel? In this moment, about who God is and who I am in him. What am I not believing? And then let the Spirit remind you of truth from the Word and believe that truth and experience God's peace. It's our assignment for this week. Like I've been saying, that's our ongoing assignment just for the rest of our lives. So why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we will sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so, so good. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. And thank you, God, that we can be your children. And that we can live with the knowledge that our lives are in your hands. And you control it all. And you are a loving Father. And you work everything out for our eternal good. Help us to live, God, like people who believe that. And when we don't, remind us through your Spirit and help us to repent of our unbelief and help us believe the gospel once more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.